It's not about you, Amy. It's about black women.
But yeah, but you asked me, what do I do? That was the question. And I'm answering the question, what I do was...
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Right. Don't be defending
it. Like, what's going on? Welcome back to season 2 of Next Stop Africa for our special episode for Black History Month. I am your gracious host, Amy Kikoma. I know you guys missed me. I was visiting Congo for a while. Now I'm back. I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Benny. She's from Rwanda. And we're here with three special guests. First one, who will be leading the discussion today. You guys are very fond of him. You guys are well aware of him. It's Luden, Dominican and Puerto Rican. Daquan. He's identified as Afro-Latino, American. And the other one is Naeem.
Black He's and beautiful. African.
Black. He identifies as black and beautiful, African-American. I hope you guys listened to episode 8, which was really well ran by Benny while I was away on my hiatus. It was on financial literacy. We had a special guest, John L., who came on and kind of gave us tidbits on how to manage money properly and understanding the value of a dollar. So hope you guys check that out. Let us know what you think. Before we get into today's topic, I did have something I wanted to talk about real quick, just get off my chest. There's a lot going on in the world right now. Before that, I would like to say happy Black History Month and happy Valentine's Day, belated Valentine's Day to everybody. Hope you guys enjoyed your Valentine's Day. I hope somebody gave you flowers, somebody gave you some chocolates. If they didn't, I'm very sorry. You should reach out to me. we'll get something going for you guys.
You're already committing to other flowers.
If I remember last year when we had the episode around Valentine's Day, I think he actually said that he was going to buy flowers for all the women listening to the
women's podcast. Day.
Yeah, the women in my life.
I got you.
The women's day.
Benita, I got you next Valentine's Day, all right? Just let me know.
Yo, okay. The commitment on my end, I came through with it. You know, women in my life, they receive flowers. You know, my beautiful niece. You know, and not just the women. My nephew, he got some flowers and a teddy bear. So I did my part. I'm a man of my words. So I don't know about the rest of the men in you guys' lives. You know, or whoever is close to you guys, but it can't be me. But anyway. I hope you guys were spreading love, sharing love, and receiving love. But yeah, back to my original thought. There is a lot going on in the world right now. I guess specifically speaking to the whole Russia and Ukraine situation that's happening right now. It's interesting. I saw a post on Twitter. You know, I live on Twitter. It was about like two, three days ago. And it was this Nigerian guy. He had posted a video of a bunch of Africans that were stuck at a train station, and they were being prevented from getting on the trains that were leaving to go to the border of Poland. So it turns out, I'll say a good amount of Africans that are in Ukraine, they are not being allowed to leave. So basically is women and children first, men, and then Africans are kind of last, you know? So it was just kind of like, it was an eye-opening. It sadly is not, it's not surprising that, you know, even in the face of the war, people are choosing racism.
Hold on. Backtrack that, because I missed on that. So you're telling me, because I do understand the thing that men 17 and up to 60, like they're being asked to stay.
No,
so you're telling me like Africans
all together, not
What?
Yeah. So, you know, it was just kind of like, it's wild, you know, even in the face of like war, you know, people are choosing like racism still above that. You know what I mean? And like the videos is kind of disheartening. Like they're like the guys, they literally made a line in front of the train and like not allowing them to get on. There was also this video of this woman who had like a 2-month-old baby in like a 3 degrees Celsius weather, which is really, really cold. That's really cold weather to have a 2-month-old baby in, you know?
Especially a black baby.
Exactly. At the train station outside. And you know Eastern Europe is cold. Eastern Europe is freezing cold, you know? So that video was just kind of like disheartening to see, you know? And stuff like that is like, it's sad that, you know, you're not surprised by it. You know, that's the saddest part. It's like you see something like that and you're like, but yeah, I'm not surprised that they would have done something like this, you know? And then on top of that, it's kind of like, what are these African embassies doing? You know what I mean? Like there's African embassies all over Eastern Europe. I'm sure there's a Nigerian embassy. I'm sure there's a Congolese embassy. There's an Angolan embassy. You know what I'm saying? What are they doing? They're not doing anything. Because we know the truth about who's actually behind like all of these embassies controlling it, you know? And so, I don't know. Praying for the safety of all of them. You know, praying for them to find shelter. I don't know. There are like some organizations that are accepting donations to help them out. And I don't know. It's just, I don't know. That kind of ruined, it kind of ruined my week seeing that, you know what I mean? Like, it's sad that, you know, people are still like doing shit like that, you know, even when you're being bombed, you're still choosing to like, nah, y'all can't leave. Y'all don't have to be the last ones to leave, you know, even though like everybody knows women and children, no matter what race, whatever, they got to be the first ones to go, you know? That's always like the rule, you know? So for them to look at African women and children as like kind of less than is OD, you know? So
the truth is, this has not even been in news that much to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's so many, like, I do work with people from different backgrounds, and I do have friends who are like, from neighboring countries like Georgia, Ukrainians, and as a whole community, like the only thing like we have heard is like, oh, women are getting priorities, but we didn't, like none of the people, because there are people who follow news like in my work, so they would have noticed that. So that has not really caught the eye of the media, and especially because I saw even South Africa was speaking about like helping Ukraine. So if it was something that is out and known, I'm sure South Africa would have been the first to mention about it. So yeah, if it's something that they're trying not to put out in the media, or the media is refusing to cover that so that they maintain the focus on the main thing, then that is going to be an issue, because literally all Black people are here praying. Like we have heard, especially African, we have had situation with wars and political instability, so we do sympathize with like Ukrainian people, and we're doing our best to help the community. But it's so saddening to hear that, like, even myself, I have never heard of that, so this is like my first time hearing it.
I mean, it's gaining a little traction, you know, because I was even surprised by it too when I seen it. But today we wanted to talk about Black History Month. I guess I'll kind of speak a little bit to Africans, or just speaking for myself. I think before coming to America, I didn't know a lot about Black history from the point of view of other people that look like me outside of Africa itself, you know. Luden's gonna lead the charge
whenever you're ready, bro.
I have some big shoes to fill. I don't know if I can try to fill them, but I'll try my best. I'm no Amy or Benny, but you know, I'll try. Anyway, so I know one thing that is very important, if not extremely important, is Black History Month, where we have to take a moment to not only recognize and learn, but to unlearn a lot of systemic oppression and systemic education that was taught over the years, to be able to not only better ourselves as individuals, but to help those who are around us for a bigger and brighter future. So I just wanted to kind of have a kind of conversation about a couple of the questions that we've had. I will be saying the juxtaposition of some of these questions. So like, I will bring up a different side or the antagonist side of it, of things that I've heard with people. So that being said, for the first question, and anyone can answer in any kind of order, I'll probably start with Amy for this one, since we did a post on our Instagram regarding this question. So what does Black History Month mean to you, Amy?
I mean, I think it's kind of like, I think it's a time when, you know, we truly understand Black people's like contributions to the world. You know, I think speaking as an African, it's a time for us to kind of learn about Black people as a whole, you know, their histories, you know, outside of just like African history, you know, which is definitely beneficial, helps us to better understand, you know, our counterparts. I think the month itself, you know, the shortest month, it kind of represents, you know, Black people as a whole perfectly, you know, as in like, they always give us a little bit of something and we find a way to make something out of nothing, you know, so they gave us the shortest month and we still make this short month feel like, you know, it's a year kind of thing.
Benny, what are your thoughts?
Well, obviously, it's a month to take pride in being a Black person. And there's so much that goes into it, including learning the history, enjoying the community as a whole. Like, we come together with different activities. So it's a time to reunite again. Like, not to say reunite again, but like to increase the force of us reuniting. So it's like a quick reminder or like a power nap for like, oh, you need to start to keep going from the segregation to uniting and fighting and continuing to build one body as a whole. But the one thing that Amy just spoke about, like, oh, why is History Month is short? I was also curious about it. And then I look and they say it's basically chosen because of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass were born in February and other coincidences that happened, and they chose it. I can read a little quote. February was chosen primarily because of the second week of the month coincides. I don't know how to say this word.
Coincides.
With bad days of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. Lincoln was influential in the emancipation of slaves, and Douglass, a former slave, was prominent leader in abolitionist movement, which fought to end slavery. Lincoln and Douglass were each born in the second week of February. So it was traditionally a time when African American would hold celebration in honor of emancipation. Douglass' exact date of birth wasn't recorded, but he came to celebrate it on February 14. Thus, Woodson created Negro History Week around the two birthdays as a way of commemorating the Black past, according to this thing, I don't know, ASLH. 40 years after Ford formally recognized Black History Month, it was Barack Obama the national first Black president who delivered the message of his own from the White House, a place built by slaves. Black History Month shouldn't be treated as though it's somehow separate from our collective American history or somehow just boiled down to a compilation of greatest hits from March on Washington or from some of our sport heroes. That's what Obama said. So there is a history behind why it was chosen.
Daquan, what you think?
I feel like to me it's about, you know, knowing your history. And then once you know it, you can take pride in that. Because once you take pride, because look, Black people was enslaved, right? They were enslaved, but we still got out of that and we still doing good for ourselves. Like, I'm not saying that we're still not enslaved because we're technically all just a different system, which, you know, Michelle Alexander says in her new book, The New Jim Crow. So you should read that. It's a very good book. But like, take pride in the fact that, you know, our ancestors did this for us and we're here and we're, you know, we're trying to make a difference. Even though, you know, sometimes making a difference is slow progress, but it's still getting done. So it's like, take pride in our unity, take pride in our history, and just, you know, take pride of being, you know, Black.
Naeem, what you think?
Black History Month to me is definitely just a time to, you know, look back on all the condemnation that, you know, Black people, you know, just Blackness had to, you know, go through. You know, it's definitely a time to look at the history and look away from, like, you know, the whitewashed, white gazed history that, you know, gets told a lot. And, you know, through looking back at all the condemnation that Black people went through, we sort of see, you know, where we can go from there, you know.
I appreciate all these answers, all these eloquent, educated, amazing answers. That's what's up. I know some things that I've heard from time to time about Black History Month. And I haven't heard this that often or, you know, too often, but some conversations that I hear, or not even conversation, but comments that I hear rather, are, you know, why is there a Black History Month? Like, you know, we had a White History Month, like everybody would be calling us a racist, or, you know, why are they shoving Black History Month down our throats and all of that kind of thing? Or I've seen some comments or even some commentary from people about, like, you know, it's all about Black this and Black that, but what about these people and what about that people? What about Hispanics or what about, like, Pacific Islanders and stuff? So those are some of the things that I've heard from other people from time to time. So I don't know if anybody had any comments on that. I know, Amy, you look like you're about to say something.
I think anytime there's a small light that is shined on Black people, everybody else gets worked up, you know, in whatever manner that it is. I think everybody uses Black people as, like, the stepping stone to kind of do whatever or achieve whatever that they got to do. But yeah, I think, like, you know, comments like that are ridiculous. I think if you actually do study history, you know, you would understand, you know, like, what I'm about to say right now is kind of stupid. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but I think before we even move to the next question, you actually do have to answer the question yourself, right? You do know that.
Right. I know that. Well, first off, okay. Let it flow naturally?
Okay. No, I just want to make sure, like, right now.
I'm trying to let y'all talk and then I'll talk and then it can segue well.
Oh, yeah. No, go ahead. Do your thing.
Damn. Your thing. Anywho. Before I was really interrupted, but no, yeah, and definitely. And there's a lot of people that kind of that talk about that and talk about how, you know, shoving down this throat on that, or, you know, basically what everything Amy was saying. So I lost my train of thought because Amy attacked me like that. So very sorry. But I don't know if any of you guys have any thoughts.
I mean, what I did want to talk about, what history month, the history, U.S. history, or UK history is
white. I don't know. I say the same thing. I'm like, what white history?
Black history, it's not really that, like, shown into, like, the average history courses. So that's why, like, oh, we're going to have Black History Month so that you get to learn about Black history, because it's excluded in the majority history, which focuses on general Americans, which are white people.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, it's like this is just a you know, white gazed society we live in. You know, everything, you know, they make sure you learn about, you know, them presidents before you learn anything about Martin Luther King. They make sure you learn about the founding fathers before you learn about any sort of black significant figure that, you know, contributed to American, you know, history. And it's just crazy, you know.
Whew. I am feeling the passion. I am feeling everything y'all are saying. But, you know, since you guys have all answered, I know for me, for Black History Month is a time to celebrate, to rejoice, to learn, to be sympathetic and empathetic, and to go through all the human emotions, to understand, to appreciate, to grow better, and to do better for the future while learning all the past history that has been done on the Black community, and as well what we can do to better and to promote much brighter future. I always tell people, anytime they have a conversation about this, that you can't fix your quote unquote racism, xenophobia, and all of that if you don't fix your very first issue, which is like the whole kind of mentality going against Black people, where it's just like people are like, okay, well, what about these people and that people and all that people? And I was like, it's great that we want to fix those, but you're trying to fix all those other things without fixing the very, very first origin issue, which was how Black people were treated. So for me, it's kind of a time to do better, to be better, and to move forward better. So that's kind of a little bit of my answer on that, which is actually a perfect segue, because talking about looking forward, going a little bit backwards. So being part of the BIPOC community, for those who don't know, BIPOC means Black Indigenous Person of Color community. There is, and it doesn't happen to everyone. It happens to some people, not to other people, different things. You know, when depending on your skin color, from you, when you are from the BIPOC community, you can get kind of a talk to, or you have this kind of white passing personality, which is more so in Hispanics, where you have more of a white passing color on you, where you look white, but you are a minority because you're Hispanic, which comes from, you know, colonization from the different Spanish countries and all that kind of mumbo jumbo. But if every single one of you that are here right now, if you had a chance to be face to face with your younger self, what would you say to that younger individual? You know, and it can be, you know, about race. It can be about, you know, the quote unquote talk that you get when you are a young person of color or a young Black person, et cetera, et cetera. What would you say to them?
If I was to tell my younger self, honestly, learn about your, you know, Black history, learn about critical race theory, you know, learn about just all about the racial binary, because like, so for example, like critical race theory, I say critical race theory because when a lot of people of young age are faced with like a racial or like, you know, ethnic conflict, and they're not taught about race or ethnicity, they don't know how to react. So I feel like that I'll tell my younger self to, you know, just be more open about, you know, learning new, you know, just learning about race and ethnicity and stuff like that.
Let's see. Embrace yourself, you know, love yourself. It don't matter, man, you know. Just be you. Just love yourself. Stop, you know, hiding, you know, just be yourself, man. Love yourself. Yeah, that's basically what, you know, I feel like, especially, you know, for, you know, little Black kids, you know, they go through this, you know, this self-hating phase for like a very long time. It can, you know, it could go into adulthood, and, you know, the power just, you know, of the power of anti-Blackness is just crazy. And, you know, I would just tell myself, you know, try your best to break free from that, you know, just love yourself, embrace yourself. You don't gotta pretend to be something you're not. Just be Black, just be queer, just love yourself.
Oh, I mean, number one, I mean, there's a lot of things I can tell myself, but the most important is the skin color does not define the level of intelligence or the humanity in people. And I would tell a little bit older, but still younger of myself to not fall into the white savior complex theory, because that was a big part of me growing up at some point. And I believed it because we had a lot of white people coming in Africa and trying to be the savior, or the history that we learned that the big people that we knew was only white people being the inventors of everything. So believing that white man might be the savior of whatever was going on in my personal life or in my country or in Africa in general, that is a few things I would tell myself.
Mr. Amy Kikoma?
I think a little bit to what Naeem and Benny said. I think self-love, I think, is very, very important. Also not to fall into the, you know, the white savior complex. I think for me, something that's very, very important is not to feel like an outsider just because I'm the only black person in the room, you know, to always feel confident and comfortable in any room I walk in. Never try to feel less than. Don't compare myself too much to other people, you know what I'm saying? Intelligent wise. And I think that's really, really big. I think also I think with laughter, you know, I laugh a lot. So not to have an issue with, you know, my voice filling up a room. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of times, you know, I feel like you guys know what that is, you know, when a lot of people of color get together, you know. I think specifically like black people, you know, when we laugh, our laughs are very like soulful. You know, our laugh is like, it carries, you know, you could tell when there's black people in the room, when they start laughing, you're like, yeah, they're there. You get me?
Make the presence known.
Right. Not to let that deteriorate you from, you know, being in a room or like change the way you move or act, you know. Obviously code switching is necessary, but, you know, don't let that just like carry over into who you are like 24/7. You know, I think that's very, very important.
Absolutely. It's at the end of the day, it's all about kind of that self-expression. Don't be afraid of who you are and keep being who you are. You're an amazing individual, beautiful self. And I mean, for me, what I would tell my younger self is just keep doing what you're doing. Probably a little bit to what Amy was saying about the comparing part. You know, don't compare yourself to other people. Just enjoy who you are as a person. Keep being you and just make your presence known, because then at the end of the day, just make the people that are not part of the BIPOC community rue the day that you were born. So that you can make your presence known and make the people that are around you, that are within your community, uplifted and be proud of who you are as an individual. So that's kind of a little bit on that kind of aspect. And I know a lot of times we talk about, you know, uplifting and really trying to be there for one another. And, you know, a lot of times we try to tell that to a lot of our black women about, like, you know, we got to uplift them. We got to be there for them. You know, we got to support them. But, and, you know, please correct me if I'm wrong. This is kind of like a little opinion of mine. I feel like 9 out of 10 times, the same people that say, let's uplift our black women are the same people that are the first ones to up and leave them and not support them. And a lot of times, hey, why are you laughing, Amy?
I don't know. I think that's a crazy take.
That's a crazy take. Mm. Well, why do you say that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just me. I haven't found somebody that, like, I know what you mean in terms of like, okay, I do agree with Black women when they say Black men are the weakest link. 100%. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree in that 1,000%. But I think whenever a Black man does say like, yo, let's uplift Black women, which is rare, I think they mean it, just because it is very rare, you know, because, you know, Black men have a track record of wanting a lighter complexion. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, and that's what I mean. I don't mean just like the words themselves, but the practice about like how they would say, you know, not verbally saying that, you know, Black women are beautiful, but coming from this like background, and they're talking about like Black pride, Black this, Black that, which in essence encompasses, you know, Black women, to then say, oh, I don't want a Black woman, which, I mean, you know, no shade to no one, which is totally fine. People have preferences and stuff like that. Okay. You know, that agree to disagree, we can have that kind of conversation. But are the first ones to kind of like be like, no, I don't want a Black woman. She's too loud. She's too this, she's too that. And then list out all these things about her that are just like, okay, well, you talk about Black pride, and Black women are encompassing in Black pride. You just can't take them out of the equation. You know, that's what I mean. So I hope that makes sense. But with that being said, you know, to look a little bit into the future in a little bit more in a hopeful way, you know, what are some things that, you know, that gives you hope for the future for Black women in the matter of representation? And I kind of want to start with Benny on this. You know, Benny being a Black, beautiful woman herself, you know, what are some things that gives you hope, kind of gives you kind of a good look into the future, or kind of a hopeful look into the future of Black women from, you know, we can talk about representation wise, talking about, you know, how their Black women are, you know, being treated for the future and everything. So what are some things?
I feel like first thing is like, don't be a hindrance to any Black woman who's trying to go up. As a father, if you're a father listening to us, or a future father, you're going to have Black daughters. You guys have Black sisters. Like, what are you guys doing to make sure that they are achieving their fullest potential? And also understand a Black woman. What is our experience? What are we going through? What are these hindrances that we keep talking about? The different like things that keep pushing us down, even if being there like emotionally supportive, telling them they can do it. Sometimes it's just these little affirmative words that can lift them up. There are other stuff that require policies. Let's say there have been discrimination of where Black women are not able to get jobs because of, let's say, the hair textures and like what kind of hair you're having. People have been fighting to get like freedom to wear their hair the way they want. But those are small things like Black men can join in the voice to fight against. And not just like in America, I'm talking about also in Africa, because there's still a big issue in the representation of like Black women, especially in politics. Because as Africa, I feel like we have a responsibility to set an example to the rest. If we show strong Africans, African women in power in Africa, that will inspire more Black women in America to also do more. So there's so many things that we can do to prepare Black women, but I feel like we just need to study more and learn about each other and see the importance of having a Black woman as a big person who can inspire the next generation.
So the question is,
What are some things that you think will help propel, push forward for Black women to succeed and whatever future endeavors that they might, you know, to just be able to even be considered, somewhat as an equal. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you can do personally to kind of help push that?
I think Benny kind of said a little bit of it. I think being supportive, I think that's very, very important. Being supportive, being a rock, being an ally, being encouraging. I think just being there for them, trying to understand, you know, whatever it is that they're dealing with. I think a lot of times, you know, when people are having conversation with Black women, right, they go into the conversation with the, you know, with the idea of like, you know, Black women are angry, you know, so it already makes it tough for them to understand, you know, whatever it is that they're dealing with, you know, whatever roadblock that they're facing. You know, I think going into a conversation or, you know, helping them when you are helping them, I think you should, it should come from a place of, you know, of good heartedness, you know what I'm saying? Like, you should have clarity, you know, you shouldn't just do it just because you feel like, let me just do it kind of thing, you know, cause you know, they face a lot more than, you know, regular people do on a daily basis. So I think definitely, just being more supportive, just learning how to be an ally to them. I think that's very, very important. You know, also, by the way, I would like to say, I am already, you know, an ally. I do this on a regular. So this is.
Oh, you do. So if you do, Amy, why don't you tell us what you do and stuff?
No, that's what I'm telling you. You know, I think I'm and a lot of people could speak to this. I am a great listener. I'm very observant and attentive. You know, I'm marketing myself, by the way.
Wow. So we're here trying to give the platform to Black women and Amy's trying to take it to himself. Classic.
I'm joking. No, but no, in all seriousness, Daquan's a hater. But in all seriousness, you know, I think giving them the space to be themselves, I think that's what's very, very important. And, you know, and I know we strictly speaking in regards, you know, to women of color, Black women specifically, but I think that's what anybody wants, you know, when they're in a friendship, relationship, whatever you want to call it, they want to have a space where they can truly be them, you know. And I, you know, speaking to me, that's the kind of space I do give people, you know, be yourself, be who you got to be, you know. You can show your bad size, good size, whatever size you want to show. It ain't no judgment, you feel me? So on a daily, that's what I do. You know, I've been told I give decent advice. So I have an open door policy. You know what I'm saying? You come in, get your advice, and you and you go about your day, go about your business.
It's not about you, Amy. It's about Black women.
But yeah, but you asked me, what do I do? That was the question. And I'm answering the question, what I do was.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Right. Right. Don't be defending. What? Like, what's going on? Like, yeah, ask me, what do I do to support? That's what I'm telling you I do, you know? You know, I'm a big, big fan. I'm a big advocate. You know, I have four beautiful Black women in my life, you know, that are very close and dear to my heart. So topics like this, it is very, very serious, you know? One of the four is a little baby, you know, so got to make sure she's going to grow up, you know, in a very, very safe space, you know, and even with my sisters, you know, they may think they're grown, but, you know, you still got to be able to help them through everything. You know what I mean? Like, you're not that grown yet. So, but yeah, I think comfortability is always what's important for a lot of people. And I think mostly, you know, speaking towards women, I think women, they want comfortability. They want a safe space. And that's what I do. That's what I provide, you know. Amiki Coma at your service, LLC.
All right, Amy, you're done. Bye. What are some things that you can do, Daquan?
Here's what I do. So, like, I run like a underrepresented program, right? Well, now I'm a GA, but I still work on a program. All these, you know, different women, Black women coming to my program, and they want to, you know, they want to be a part of our program. And I always, you know, they always come in, want to talk about this, want to talk about their career aspirations. And you know me, I'm out here listening, you know, giving them advice, you know, putting them in the right direction. You feel me? Like, I'm listening. I'm a huge advocate. I am a feminist. You feel me? Equal rights for men and women. So, like, I'm just, I like to empower them because, you know, they don't really get empowered. Like, well, I would say not really, but they do get empowered. But, like, it's good to hear from, like, oh, you doing this. You doing good. Like, I'm going to empower them. I advocate for them. If they need something, financial aid, if they need, you know, academic resources, I advocate for them strongly.
That's a black right there. That's a black king right there.
That, thank you, Naeem. Thank you. Naeem, it's your turn. Right, it's your turn. We got to hear from you now.
I want to verify Daquan's claim that yes, whatever he said, he did do it. And I was a part of the organization that he's talking about. And he really did, like, stand up for Black women.
Wow. And oh, damn. Amy, wow. you gotta step it up a bit. Daquan is outshining you.
What? This is school. I'm talking about real life. This is what I do in real life in the world. Outside of just school. Too.
Well, it sounds like Daquan is doing more of an impact than you are. So,
how? So, my friends don't get an impact. What are we talking about right now? What are we saying right now?
We have a testimony right here. All right, going on to Naeem. What you think?
Yeah, man. Definitely, you know, feel all the sentiments that Benny was speaking about in regards to Black women's experience and, you know, the world. As far as, you know, jumping back to what you, the original question that you asked Benny, you know, help amplify their voices, you know, pass the mic to a Black woman, you know, make sure that they're being heard and seen. I think that's really the most proactive way that, you know, we can help Black women. It's just, you know, making sure that, you know, that their mic is on and they're not just there on the sideline, on the marginal, you know, sideline, just there, like, making sure that they're actually being heard.
Absolutely, for sure. I appreciate all that answers. For me, so I grew up in a majority female household. I think me and my cousin were probably the only male in our entire, like, family line. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, a lot of our families are all, like, mostly female, like a good 85 to 95%. So all I saw all my life were, like, these females that are, like, super awesome, working so hard, trying to make sure everything is keeping up and maintained and everything of that kind of little nature. So that's pretty much what all I saw. So for me, at the end of the day, I'm more of an optimistic kind of person. So I do kind of see kind of a bigger and brighter future just because with this generation, especially Generation Z, how they bring light into a lot of situations. There's no time for BS. Is like, it's either this needs to happen or we're going to fix it right now. It either you do it or I do it. Jive is what it is. So for sure. And the one thing that I can try to definitely do is what everyone's been saying, just kind of empowering and passing over the mic and just kind of empowering Black women. Anytime that I, you know, at least one thing that I always try to do with all my female friends who are Black, the one thing that I always try to do is to kind of, you know, empower them, uplift them. You know, one thing, I even changing the lingo, you know, language is very powerful. Language is very, very strong. And, you know, one thing that I always do is that anytime that I'm talking about, like, Black women to any of my friends, you know, whether it be a Black woman or any other my other friends, I'm always referring to a Black queen. Instead of me saying Black woman, I always say Black queen, because that's how they should be kind of treated in that kind of case and in that kind of point. So kind of switching up the lingo, because the language is something that is powerful, that triggers thoughts, actions, and et cetera, et cetera. But Benny, I kind of want to flip it on you because I know you had some questions for us.
So you guys did talk about how can we uplift the Black women. But one thing that's been also in media is how to support Black men. And as the only Black woman in here, I want to hear from you guys, because most of the time we can assume, but assumptions are not always the right thing. So as a Black man, what are things that Black women can do or can continue to do to support you guys?
I mean, me, myself, I definitely cannot speak for every single Black guy, because obviously it's going to be person dependent. You know what I mean? But for me, I mean, like, I'm really easygoing. So really, I don't got too much, you feel me, that I would need, you know. I think naturally Black women are very supportive, you know. They have like this sense of like, you just feel good around them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to be serious. Like, I'm being very serious. As like this, I think this is the best way.
Do you mean like a feeling like on home? A feeling like, you know, you belonging?
No, listen, I'll explain it like this. You ever been in like a grocery store, or you're outside, you know, and you run into a Black older lady, you know, and she refers to you as like, that feel it, right?
Yes.
That feel it. I'm like, damn. Like, yes. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? And like, that's the energy that they bring to me. So I just be like, that's all I need. I don't need much. Cause I think from there, you can just naturally open up, you know?
You know, I really can't, you know, really even speak for all Black men, cause you know, it's like, I feel like, you know, Black women has always been supportive of, you know, of me, basically of me, you know, they always been like one of the first people, you know, to always make me feel welcomed in spaces that I navigate, you know, and in these crazy, you know, gender wars that, you know, that the Black community, especially, you know, like to, especially on Twitter, oh, I can't stand it. I'm just like, what are y'all talking about? Like, what are we really talking about? Is this getting us anywhere? You know, I feel like, you know, Black women has always been really there for Black men, as you know, from what I've experienced.
That's 100%. I'm gonna go to Luden.
Well, I really can't say much, because most of the people that have raised me have been women themselves. You know, coming from a Hispanic background, you know, you have, you know, your different women that are, you know, of lighter complexion versus our darker complexion and stuff like that. So for me, I mean, honestly, can't say more to what, you know, Naeem and what Amy have been saying.
And Daquan.
I feel like Amy, Naeem, and Luden hit it, you know, on the nail, that Black women were always in support of Black men. Just look at history. Like, when Black men didn't support women, they made organizations, women made Black organizations for themselves because Black men didn't support them. But now we all support each other. And I feel like Black women been supporting Black men. So I feel like there's nothing really y'all need to do. So just get rid of that, you know, patriarchy, gender hierarchy.
You guys did so well. And this is also like the one thing I can tell like Black women, like, keep doing the good work. Like, in the end, we are the one holding the Black community. Black man cannot do anything without a Black woman. That's facts. And Black woman cannot do anything without a Black man. So just as we do ask for Black men to give us support for Black women, we should continue to do the same. We should continue and even do more, because the more we do, the more we keep giving example and raising strong Black men who can also, in return, continue to protect us, continue to support us, and continue to build a Black community in general. So I'm going to now return the baton to Luden to continue from where he stopped.
The next part of the question is the last question. We're going to try to reel it in and kind of tie it back. you know, talking about Black History Month, you know, those are kind of conversations that and celebrations that we saw kind of throughout our life that we may have seen recently, may have not seen recently, we kind of started throughout our lives. So this is for more so it will be applied differently, you know, depending on the person. But, you know, someone, you know, growing up in Africa was, you know, Black History Month, something that was that you saw that was celebrated. Was it is it more of a Western American thing that is done? And, you know, and if it was celebrated, you know, what are some differences that you guys have noticed between the way that, you know, the Western part of the world celebrates Black History Month versus, you know, places like Africa that may or may not have celebrated it. So I'll kind of leave this kind of an open platform for anyone to kind of answer. Not all at once. Oh, okay. Perfect.
Nah, yeah, I figured nobody was going to start. So are you asking if Black history is celebrated outside of the States, basically? Is that the question?
Essentially, yeah. So like, is it something that is celebrated? So like someone like, I don't know about like Daquan or Naeem. I know I haven't, you know, I mean, I believe I've been outside the country, like in DR and stuff like that. But, you know, is it celebrated, you know, to that kind of to the same extreme? I shouldn't say extreme, but to the same way that we celebrate here out there? Or is it because, you know, you see more Black people there? It's kind of like no duh, no brainer, kind of like we see Black people all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think speaking a little bit to, again, I can't speak to every African country, but I would say I think it is in an American holiday, again, because like Africa, you have everybody that just looks like you. So I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, Benny, but I don't think like Black History Month is celebrated in Africa like that. You know, I think because of like social media is becoming like a, you know, like a thing, you know, a little bit all over the world. But I think pre-social media or like pre-internet, I don't think anybody had an idea of it besides like the Americans, or I guess that maybe the West, you know.
Question real quick. I'm sorry, Vidya, but so do you think there should be a Black History Month like celebrated in Africa, or do you think like there should be like an African History Month celebrated in Africa then? Because you said it's not really celebrated because you all look like each other. Yeah. So what's your like your opinion on that? Like, what do you think?
I think that would be tough because Africa is huge. You can't, there's no one person that's like pulling the strings, you know. It's not just one, a unified country, you know. It's like a big ass continent, so it's like it would be tough to do. But I think the direction that everything is going in, I think is, you know, is good. There's like this it's kind of like bridging the gap a little bit, you know, with people becoming more exposed to some African cultures. And I think Africans becoming a little bit more exposed. I mean, we were already exposed to like, you know, the Western cultures, you know, in terms of like Black people, but we were seeing it one light, you know, like a lot of times, you know, Africans would talk down on like, you know, Black Americans. but I think like, as like, you know, the whole social media movement and like, you know, everything is going with the TikToks and all these other stuff that the young kids are using these days. I think it's like, I think it's bettering, you know, understanding each other's cultures and, you know, Black heritage, you know. And I think the diaspora learning about, you know, where their lineage comes from, I think that's kind of more, you know, that's a little bit more important. I'm not saying like, you know, the reverse is not important, but, you know, I think that's good. Understanding where you come from is important. And then I think for us, seeing where, you know, our our young babies have gone throughout the world. I think that's also important. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
So you're saying, so I get what you're saying. You're saying it should be more like a more focus to their diaspora of their lineage. So since you're saying Africa is so big, they should be focused on like a direct diaspora of their lineage?
No, I'm saying it would be hard for Africa as a whole to have like a specific month to like be like, oh, let's celebrate Black History Month. You know what I mean? Because everybody got their own thing going on in their own countries. You know what I mean?
So, like, it'll be, all right. So what do you propose then?
I wouldn't propose anything. I'm saying the way like the social media movement has helped kind of expose these things already, where people are learning, you know, on their own, you know, probably at a higher clip than they did before. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a, you know, it would probably just come down to people wanting to do their own research if they want to understand, because like, I think, you know, unless, you know, my biggest dream is having a United States of Africa, when that happens, I think that'll be a great thing to see, you know, where you can have a month or something to kind of celebrate and understand, you know, each diaspora's historical contributions to the world, you know.
Shameless plug, season 1, episode 10, United States of Africa.
I'm gonna go against most of the things that Amy said because I want to it was advocate.
Okay, Robbie.
Let's give our platform to our Black queen right here.
Okay, Robbie.
I feel like in life, you know, people say life is complicated, but most of the time, life is easy. We just make it complicated. Yes, we can have a Black History Month as a community. Because first of all, I do believe, and this is my personal belief, that it should be mandatory that Africans are learning about Black history. And that starting from like the books that we're reading, like the history should include the way you learn about African history. Let me say, for example, when I was going in school, I took up some classes to learn about South African history. So it was like either you learn West African history, where they're teaching about Ghana, Nigeria, Cameroon, or you're taking South African history where you're learning about South Africa, Zimbabwe, and so on and so forth. There could be classes just the way we're having Africana studies here, where African Americans get to learn the pre-slavery, where they're learning about the African roots and all. Africans who are going to school should have option of learning about Black history with books that are written by Black people, not the whitewashed ones that they are giving right now. And it's possible that now we have so-called unquote African Union, they can sit down and decide, okay, this month is going to be dedicated to highlighting Black history, Black significant figures, so that like they learn. Because I'm going to tell you this, majority of the people who are studying in Africa, they don't have an idea of the biggest inventors are Black people. And because we're lacking that knowledge, we still have that white savior complex. Oh, they're the one who can do this. They're the one who can do that. But if we had learned the contribution of our own people to the Western world that we're seeing here, then we could have more faith and trust in ourselves that we can do as much and even much better, especially when we have our own people with us. And nothing can guarantee that education system is going to change easily, right? But establishing a month, it's not like we're losing anything anyway. Why not? And we can even expand it, not just to be like a Black history is going to be just a thin line about like African American history. It can be encompassing all other Africans, like African American, African European, African Caribbeans, like history, because there's a lot of Africans, even the ones that come to US most of the time, the moment we come here, we have not been exposed, and it makes us ignorant of our own selves. And I'm sorry to say this, my president most of the time said that, like, he calls them educated ignorant. And I would say that there's so many Africans who are, they say, like, when you come here as Africans, most of the time you are encouraging Black people to learn about African history, to learn about Africans. We should do the same. We should do the same, especially in this DNA age where we are asking African Americans to return home. But you want me to come home where you don't know me. I'm going to come in as a stranger. I want you to be ready to receive me as if you know me. I'm your sister, I'm your brother. So in order to do that, we have to start somewhere. Let's say maybe we don't give it a month. We can have a day. We do have a day that it's not official, but it's celebrated mostly everywhere. African Day, you know, or African Women Day. Why can't African Union set up something like that, make it official? Because otherwise we're not giving any guarantee that it's gonna take any effect. We can do it. We have a lot of Africans in the continent asking Black people to take pride in being Africans, but we're still lacking in our action of showing them why they should be accepting to be called Africans. So that's my take on that. In the quant, to answer your question, yes, we can have a Black History Month if we want to.
Yeah, I definitely think, like, the language gets a little convoluted between what's Black, what's African, who's, you know, who truly African, or, you know, I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, to me, you know, if you're Black, African descent, you know, you're African. Don't matter if you're a continental African, African American, a British African, wherever the hell you're from, you're African at the end of the day. I think, you know, as we all, you know, come to the realization that, you know, anti-Blackness is like a global thing. And, you know, it's a thing that, you know, continental Africans, Black Africans, African American Africans, are all going through. So I think it's good to highlight, you know, global Black excellence. So yeah, that's where I stand with that.
All right, Amy, it's 4-1 right now. You want to give your side of the piece?
So you guys' answer is that it's easy to have a Black History Month in Africa?
I don't think anybody has said that it was easy. I think everyone is saying that it's possible and should be done.
I didn't say it's impossible. I said when we have a United States of Africa, I think that's possible. I'm saying currently right now, I don't think that's something that's tangible. I think that's wishful thinking to say right now we can do that, just because, like, one, you still have the old generation in Africa. That's, if you know an older generation of Africans, they have a way of thinking that's basically detrimental to, it's basically the reason why Africa is the way it is right now. It's because of them. And they're, all of them are in power. You know what I mean? Minus the great president of Ghana. Once again, I'll say that again. That's an amazing guy.
What do you mean by the way Africa is right now? What do you mean by that?
Being the richest continent, but the poorest continent. You know, in terms of the soils, the minerals, everything that's coming out of Africa. But yet, it's poor because it's every man for themselves. If I could make that.
I don't think the issue of the resources and that can factor into whether we're just going to celebrate Black History Month.
No, I'm saying can see because. The
segregation making it harder.
I'm saying the resources, because if I don't have to focus on educating my people, right?
Wait, Amy, I missed your answer to my question. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying the resources is what we're talking about, right? So
is rich, as in because the land is rich itself with every resource that's coming out from that, you know, from each part or each corner of Africa. And it's poor because it's basically being raped and pillaged, right? Everybody else is having their way. And if we had actual leaders, that's not something that would happen. But the leaders that we have in place are kind of like every man for themselves kind of thing. And they all have like underhanded deals with the Americans, the French, the Belgians, any, I guess, every European country, honestly. They have their hands in there. But I'm saying reason why it wouldn't be tangible to be like, yes, we could have a Black History Month right now in Africa is because everybody's dealing with their own thing right now, right? I'm saying social media has been helping giving exposure to like all the different cultures, you know? It will be hard for something like that to be put into a curriculum. One, people don't even go to school like that out there. You know what I mean? So two, they have an old curriculum already, you know? So to make changes, you'd have to be able to kind of start from scratch, right? It's not like we could just be like, okay, boom, we're going to start the education system over and that's that. No, like let's say we take Congo, for example, right? Congo has terrible education system, just like any other country, right? In Africa, you know, Congo is rich in the minerals, right? Like, so solving that issue first, right? To be able to build the country from scratch, then you move on with the education and you change over time. Because if you have the people in power that are not really trying to help out the country itself, then like, how is there going to be any type of change, right? Like we can't just be like, this is something that we want, we wish it could happen. But in reality, we can't just be like, yes, the education system could be changed and we could just start having like, you know, Black History Month today. Like Africa is huge. You know what I mean? Do you know how to get, first off, we can't even get all the African countries to agree on one thing. How are we going to have them agree on teaching or having just 1 month of like Black history?
All right. I don't understand what you're saying, but like I'm saying is that like, it doesn't have to be like one center African history. Each country can have their own specific, you know, how they teach African history. You feel me? It doesn't have to be one generic thing. It can be specific to their culture, their diaspora.
Right, but they do that though. That's what I'm saying, they do that. I thought the question was, can they not have a month where they celebrate? Like, is that not what we were talking about?
But I'm just saying, like, in general, like, it doesn't have to be, like, because I thought you were saying is that all encompassed into one specific, like, African history for each country to learn about one specific African history. That's what it sounded like you were saying.
No, your question was, can't, like, Africa have a month where they teach, where they're celebrating Black history? Was that not the question?
That was the question.
Okay. So now I'm trying to follow from that question, right? So from that question, what I'm saying is that's not something that is tangible, because in reality, when you're looking at Africa, right, these people, these leaders cannot agree on one thing, right? So what I'm saying, like, now with that in mind, how do you think they'll be able to sit there and agree and say, okay, South Africa, Morocco, right? Every country in between. Yes, we're going to agree on this 1 month where we're going to, you know, everybody's going to celebrate Black history. You know, you can't view Africa as you view the United States, right? United States is one country, right? Africa is a continent. There's no way to take that system and place it, you know, until you could unify the entire continent. That's when you're able to, like, you could bring a system like that. Like,
let me just point something out real quick. Right now, all of us are on current stolen land. Not only that, but we are in a country that thinks that they're better than other people and stuff like that. Despite, like, all these, like, you know, negative parts of this country, you know, it's not the country saying, here's a Black History Month. You know, they make it official. Yeah, but, like, at the end of the day, it's the people that made it that way. personally, me, I don't think that it goes onto the leaders to say, like, to make that, in order for it to happen, it has to be like through the leaders. Like, I mean,
I was going to say the exact same thing too, Luda.
I'm like, it's a very social movement.
I don't think you guys are. Do you understand how corrupt Africa is?
Right.
But okay. Okay.
You're talking about a very holistic political standard. That's not what we're talking about.
What do you mean?
So in order to do Black History Month, you need to have some kind of political in game in order to do it. Is that what I'm hearing, Ben?
How did they get this to become a holiday?
Political. Okay, but you're talking about it being a holiday. But like the standard of how America does Black History Month is different from how people, because Black History Month is just like, okay, a month to celebrate Black history. Cool. Yay. Whatever. Yeah. Uh-huh. Whatever. And that's how America does it. But the way that people do it, which is different and done and implemented, is very different.
Okay, now, people are okay, like, so hold that thought right there, right? So now how are you going to get people from South Africa and Morocco to do the same thing at the same
time? Social
media. So you tell them, bro, I don't think you understand how Africans operate, right? Like, bro, they each have like their own. This is what I'm saying. Like, you
at
can't.
At the end of the day.
Bro, I don't think you're following. Look, you're looking at the United States, right? One country, right? 50 states.
I get what you're saying.
No.
I understand what you were saying.
It's easier to do something like that, right? Now, two, you're talking about all these different countries that are on one land, each country dealing with their own thing. You think you can have people, one already, a lot of people don't fuck with each other in Africa from different countries. They don't fuck with each other. Excuse my language. I'm going to say that again. A lot of people do not like each other in Africa, right? Already, right? I'll give you an example. There were Nigerians that were in South Africa, right? South Africans said, you guys are stealing our jobs, so we're going to start killing you guys. So now you think, with people with that type of mindset, they're going to decide and say, yes, let's all celebrate Black History Month.
I mean, there's people in the South that still have, that lynch people, and we still celebrate Black History Month here.
I understand you're talking about white people lynching black people with black people killing black people in Africa.
Listen, bro,
I don't think you understand, bro. You just said lynching. That's a whole different ballgame, right? You were talking about something completely different, bro. I'm just trying to show you that, like, this is something that until Africa is able to be unified, that's not something that's tangible, you know? I think right now, like I said, social media is doing a decent job to exposing the other cultures, you know, and helping, you know, Africans understand the history of the other cultures. But to say that Africa is able to right now just celebrate like or have something similar to what Black History Month is here, I don't think that's possible. I do not think that's possible.
I'm not against your explanation about like how resources might in the dysfunctional African system is gonna affect how we perceive or celebrate African History Month, right? Correct? That's true. But there is simple ways that does not involve government. There is student organizations on different campuses. Most of these big things start from student organizations. Let's say when I was studying in Uganda, right? We did have a month where we do like competitions, like cultural competition. We do like dramas. We do like sport competition, like you have different houses and they have like different activities that's being done for that entire month, right? Obviously, I'm not going to say like we can wake up and do it, but like it's possible to have that month that is celebrated, not being official, it's impossible to easily change the curriculum, as you say, because even it's has been impossible to change curriculum to learn about Africans and themselves. And when I'm talking about like having a Black History Month, obviously Morocco might be not so into having like this whole thing happening, but we do have other countries like Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa. These countries that have been a stepping stone in increasing, like, oh, African Americans should come back home, or this, they are opening their doors, right? But how much are they doing? Even like putting into like government news, like educating people about Black people, true Black history, not just regular. Because in the end, I'm saying it's selfish. It's selfish that you are asking African-American born, right, to learn about Ghanaian history, yet Ghanaians are not asking Ghanaians to learn about African-American, like the descendants who are brought here. We're not learning about their own experience. So you are opening a door, or look at me, but yet you're not opening a door to tell me who you are, you know? So that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's going to be impossible, but like African Union did the free trade area treaty. Obviously, it took years for them to agree to it, but at least a person took an initiative to put it out. Is it working functionally now? Maybe, maybe not. But is it making a small impact? It is. So why not?
Okay. So again, right, the point you just made, right, of you saying Ghanaians, they asking African Americans or anybody else, any Black person else that's flying into Ghana to learn about Ghanaian history, right? But that reverse is not happening. But that was my point, where I'm saying social media is playing that role, right, to help them like learn about that.
But it shouldn't be social media.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, again, already the school system, like you're saying, like not the percentage of people that are in schools is very low. So,
but at least it is.
Right. But listen, but so for you to say, the schools need to start to, it wouldn't be doing much of a change.
It would. Small change is a change. Because right, let me tell you one thing. But
everybody, the thing is, everybody's on their phones, no?
Everybody's on their phones. Okay, that is a question again, because you're talking about everyone being on a phone. But there's also a big population of Africans, right? Let's not look about most of the people who are in school, they're going to be able to afford the phone, but there are many population, right, who cannot even afford the social media, right? How do we reach to them? You educating one person makes a big impact, because they're the one who are going to reach out to their friends who are not in school, you know? Oh, we're having this. I will give an example of, I went to school at the University of Auburn, right? When we had a student organization event, sometimes it was open to public. It was student-led. Oh, this 1 month, we're going to do this, you know? And they have, you come up with fundraisers, you know? And then the big people who are willing to do that. If it was something that it has a big impact, the people who might be willing, who are not government officials, to sponsor such programs, which, by the way, Benita is bringing this program. Watch me. Because you cannot just focus on social media, guys. Like, social media will do its own thing. But people, we need to also remember the old ways of doing things. We need to remember the old ways of doing things. We can still teach people this school. This is the little resources that we have, where we're not talking about the government. This is like personal now. If you are interested in soccer, you can easily form a soccer team and you play soccer at 5 p.m. I used to be running at the beach 5 p.m. in Senegal. And then I'll meet up with random people who play soccer and all do that. If it was like I had non-Black History Month, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to form an organization and I start giving out flyers to random people. Oh, we're having an event. We have African people like parties, you know, have a party and make it a theme of Black History Month. Let them learn, give them, maybe make it the soul music or festival. There's so many ways you can make it without the government, especially in countries where we have Black Africans. I'll say Ghana, Nigeria, Rwanda, Congo. Yes, we have our own issues, but how are we going to solve it? We have to come up with these ideas where we can say, yes, possibly we can. And African issues will continue to be African issues. Give you 100 years, it's still going to be this lingering issues. But we've got to come up with a solution.
So I just want to say, Amy, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I'm going to just give the rundown real quick and some examples. I just feel like you said, Africa is not united, which is fine. So let's just start with specific countries. But you might have a rebuttal for that. Then start with specific towns in these countries. Start with, you know, specific events. Start with, you know, schools, the libraries, you know, just to make an impact. Because, like, if white people can make laws, for example, Jim Crow laws to make Black people inferior in every section of society, and if women could fight for their rights in a woman's suffrage, mind you, these are Black women, and they were having harder times than now, and they got equal rights, and they elevated themselves. Then now, African men, African women can come together and try to, you know, make an African History Month. I'm going to leave it at that. That's just my opinion.
I feel like this, you know, I appreciate the hopefulness. This is great. This, the wishful thinking, this is amazing. I just think, you know, until, you know, the self-hatredness could be dealt with, you know, which is the bigger overarching issue. That's the biggest thing that needs to be dealt with. And then you can look at everything else, you know. Each country does teach their own, you know, history and all that. But I think to say, you know, as a whole continent, I think that's, I don't know. We could leave it at that because we can all go back and forth forever. But I don't know. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I just think I hear what you're saying, Amy, at the end of the day. I feel like, you know, it's just so, you know, a little dishonest to say, you know, that, you know, African people, you know, continental African people wouldn't be able to, like, sort of, I guess, come to some common ground. Well, you know, I think if you look back in history, you know, we've seen, you know, African people throughout, you know, times of apartheid, you know, come together to, you know, work towards a place of, you know, Black liberation, so like African liberation. So like, I definitely, you know, think that, you know, it's something that can happen. And, you know, I think I hear you speaking to, like, you know, the, I guess, the antagonistic relationship that certain African nations have for each other. But I feel like, you know, it's a little, you know, there's more to that. Probably if we were to look at, like, you know, the colonization that happens within, you know, those African nations. But yeah, I sort of hear where you're coming from, but like, I think it's a little facile of an argument.
I hear the you know, the apartheid thing, right? But who is leading the charge, right? You're talking about that's white people coming in and, you know, telling people of that land, like, yo, you feel me? We're going to take over, right? So obviously the natural reaction would be, you know, let's unite. But what I'm saying is you have Black leaders that are doing this to Black people. That's where it becomes muddy. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, again, you know, there's a bigger overarching issue. There's a million things
that Africa has to fix before getting to that point. Again, until Africa could find a way, one, to get rid of all those Europeans, the Chinese people that are in their land, stealing from them, until they can actually unite together, you know, and not see themselves as competition of one another. That's when you can make a progress to trying to do something. You know what I mean? Like, and again, I said right now it's not tangible. When there's a unification, that is very much something that's going to happen. You know,
wait, but the United States is not unified though. It's only called the United States because by name. By the historic name that they gave the state, bro. But
all right, so how is it not unified?
Bro, because there's still, you got the Democrats, Republicans, and then you got different ideologies about how the government should be run, bro. That's not a unified system, bro.
Bro, those are just political parties. That has nothing to do, even whoever gets into that presidency or whatever, that's just a political party. That's like freedom of speech. You're able to choose this side, choose that side. Africa, you can't choose sides. You're going to get killed. That's just if you go against the president who is currently in power, they're going to kill you. That's how it is. Like, there's no freedom of speech. They're going to lock you up, throw you in jail. You're never going to see your family. Like, the corruption is beyond what people are seeing. And the people in charge are the people, are the Bill Clintons. You know what I mean? Are these other leaders in the other countries, the queen. You're talking about, what's his name? Macron from France. These are the people who are actually in charge. And that's what I'm saying. Until you could get rid of those invaders, you're not going to make no type of stride. Like, that's what I'm saying, is wishful thinking. Like, for right now, for it to happen is wishful thinking, but there are way more other things underlining that besides just being like, we could do it on campus. Like, yes, this is something cool. Like, you can, you know, but I think we're kind of looking at it more so from like how we're living here as opposed to how they actually live there. It's completely different, you know.
Then I think we have to, you know, be careful with our language. Are you saying, you know, African people won't be able to, you know, coexist and come together to celebrate Blackness because they have antagonistic feelings for each other, or because European colonialism? Which one is it?
I would say it's a little bit of both, more so European colonialism, because they played the biggest role, right? They're the mastermind. And how they divided and conquered Africa, right? Because it was like the people who are already in charge is the ones, or I guess the kings, right? Because that's how they kind of did it, right? Because you had the kings and you had the, it's like what's the name? It's like a hierarchy kind of thing, right? So whoever was on the highest of the totem pole, they gave them like a higher position. And then it was kind of like brainwashed to make you look down on anybody else, right? So now there's that, and then there's the aspect of whatever, I guess, village or whatever background that you're coming from, right? Because there are people, like there's Fulanis, but we could talk about the West Africa, you know? There's Fulani people who don't like, what's the other people? Is it Mandingos? I'm forgetting, but yeah. So they all live in the same country, but they don't like each other because of, you know, their background. You know, there was a president who literally massacred the other half just because they weren't Fulani, or vice versa. I may be getting it wrong, but yeah, massacred the people. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is not something that's just easy. Could just happen, you know, on some like, oh, we could go on campus and just do something like this and like spread the word and have the people, like, I'm saying, like, this is a beautiful thought. It's, you know, but I'm saying until there's some sort of unification, that's when something like that could happen. You know, that's just, I feel like that's just the reality of the situation, you know? But I think aside from that, you know, I agree with you guys. Like, but until there's a unification, that's when I'll agree with y'all. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
Okay. I think that was a very interesting conversation that we have there. And I think we can all kind of agree to disagree on some points on that. So very insightful conversation from both parties. So that being said, that was pretty much kind of all the questions that we kind of had on this for the Black History Month kind of special episode. We've learned a lot, you know, from the conversation and a little bit of a heated debate that we had towards the end. So a lot was learned, a lot was discussed and argued, and the tables were thrown and tops upside. But nevertheless, all great points talking about, you know, Black history, really promoting that. So as always, as a little spiel that we usually give at the end, make sure you guys are following us on all our social media platforms. Our Instagram is official_NextStopAfrica, Twitter _NextStopAfrica, and our beautiful, magnificent website is nextstopafrica.net. And don't forget to also like us and follow us on LinkedIn. And always make sure that whenever, whatever platform you guys are listening on, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, whatever it may be, always remember 5 stars, nothing less. If it is anything less than 5 stars, we don't want it. It's gone to that point, to the portion of the song of the day. And our lovely guest, Daquan and Naeem, will be doing the song of the day today. So with that being said, the song of the day is
Young, Gifted, and Black.
Aina Simone.
All right, y'all. Catch on the flip side. It has been a hell of a night. See you.